Thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated national communication system for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we have provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. I am so excited to share season 5 of Let's Talk because I get to talk directly to young people who have lived experiences with homelessness, and you'll get to hear them share their stories, talk about the things that matter to them today, and learn what you can do to help young people with similar experiences in the future. For our premiere episode, I'm joined by Jillian, who's based just outside of Atlanta. Jillian, would you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Jillian Yearns. I'm 18. I'm from Georgia, and I'm a youth homelessness advocate.
Outside of your advocacy work and, of course, being a mom also, do you work? Do you have like a part-time or full-time job?
Yes, I am a server.
How would you describe your life today?
I would describe my life today peaceful, more energetic, I would say happier.
You say happier. I wonder, how long has it been since you've felt that way?
It took me like, I want to say a good 5 years, 6 years maybe. It took a while, but I feel like I could breathe more now.
What is it that brings you that relief?
Just being like able to have my own peace of mind, not having like so many people trying to tell me what to do and like tell me which way I'm supposed to be going in life. I can direct my own self on my own path now. So, and just basically like just do the things that that makes me happy, like do things that I know that I used to want to do but wasn't able to do, and now that I am able to do like more things, it's way more like fulfilling.
That's such an impressive outlook to have at 18. And you mentioned earlier that it took like 5 years for you to kind of see the world this way. How old were you the first time you left home, and what was the catalyst for you leaving home?
My first time I ever ran away was in middle school. I think I was 12, and I ran away to my friend's house around the corner from my house. But, like, I ran away because it made more, like, at the time I was like, okay, well, I can't do anything home. And I always felt like a burden at my house. Like, people, like, my mom would tell me, like, oh, I do want you here and stuff like that. But then we would like get into it and stuff like that. And I just feel like me and my mom going through it most of the time was like the reason why I did start running away, because like I didn't really have a voice at my mom's house, and not being heard for like so long, it kind of like makes you go crazy because you're like, dang, well, if my family won't listen to me, like, you know, who will? So I just picked up my bags one day and I just walked out the door, and I didn't like look back or nothing.
Now, you said that in this instance, you ran away. Have you ever been asked to leave home?
Yeah, my mom had like a motto or whatever. Basically, like, if you didn't like it or how like she raised her kids, the door was open. So like, it could be like something small. Like, I remember I got trouble for like makeup one time, and my mom was like, yeah, you know what, you gotta go, I can't take it no more, stuff like that. So it was like either or, like either my mom would ask me to leave, or I just want, like, once I got older and I started like having places that I know I could go, then I would just get up and leave on my own. Mm-hmm.
How many times would you say that you were asked to leave throughout your teen years?
I got asked to leave a lot. I got treated differently from my brothers. So, like, if there were, like, situations, I'd be, like, I would mostly, like, kind of, like, stand up for myself or whatever, because I was the only girl in my family. So, I don't know. I got asked to leave pretty often. And then once I, like, started leaving on my own, and then I would come back, like, my mom would be, like, well, you weren't here for this long anyway, so you might as well, like, leave again. So, basically, like, my teenage years were just on and off of, like, staying and leaving. Or like, I remember when I was like ninth grade was when I was homeless like a lot. I think I was homeless for the whole year of ninth grade. And then I met my mom back at the end of ninth grade. And that's when my grandma had wound up getting sick. And then I had left again because, like, yeah, I just couldn't do it. My mom was going crazy and, like, pointing fingers and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know. My mom just, she just made it hard to even want to stay in her house, to be honest.
That's all really tough. I mean, like, when you were in the ninth grade and you were homeless for the entirety of that year, where did you go?
I used to live by, like, the fairgrounds. I don't know if you ever heard, like, Cobb County Fair or something like that. I used to live over there. And by the fairgrounds where people would park their cars, it's, like, a wood. And, like, I would walk through the woods, and my friend would stay in the woods or whatever. So I would just go stay over there sometimes or go to walk to Douglasville. And just anywhere I could, like, lay my head for a couple of days. Or, like, sometimes I would have to, like, sleep. I remember, like, sleeping by Publix. I slept by Kroger one time. So just really anywhere. Sleeping outside, sleeping in cars, sleeping on friends' couches. Just anywhere I could lay my head at.
Was there a friend or an adult who you could rely on if you ever felt unsafe?
Yeah, we'll go to my friend Clayton's house because my friend, like, I had a girlfriend who lived in that same area, a couple houses down over there, and that's basically where I would be at because they would feed me, they would make sure, like, I needed to get places and stuff like that. So that was really, like, my safe place before I moved in with my auntie.
Were there any adults at your school who tried to help you in any way or try to let you know, like, what your resources are or what your options were, anything like that?
Not really. Not when I got to high school, I kind of, like, shut people out and stopped really, like, telling, like, adults what was going on. Because, like, when you tell, like, adults things, they kind of be like, oh, like, they kind of, like, want to do investigations and stuff. And I was always scared, like, getting my mom in trouble or, like, making my brothers get separated and stuff like that. So I just wound up stopped telling people what was going on once I hit high school.
What about your friends or people your age? Was there anybody who really knew the full story of what was going on and that you felt, again, like you could trust and talk to about what was happening?
Oh, yeah. I have three friends. I've been friends with them for, like, ever, but they don't, like, live around me, so we just, like, talk on the phone basically a lot. Like, they came over to, like, see me and stuff, but I trust them with, like, everything because they've been there since, like, when I was going through it the first, like, when my mom started going through it with her boyfriend and stuff, and she started having her fiance, with that's what he is now. When he started coming around, they were, like, really there. So I don't, like, see them much, but I do talk to them when I can. And so they basically know, like, they told me basically, like, to get out, like, oh, you gotta, like, get your own place and stuff. Like, they kind of motivated me to want to get my own place and everything like that because they seen, like, what was going on and everything. And we would, like, play the game together. It wasn't even, like, oh, let's FaceTime or nothing. We were playing, like, GTA or, like, Minecraft or Fortnite, and they would, like, hear the stuff that was going on at home in the background. So we just started becoming more friends after that. So we really all just met playing the game together.
Okay, cool. So did you have, like, a full community of friends that you knew from online?
Not really. Just them. That was kind of like my little squad or whatever when I was playing the game. And then we would just meet other people, but the other people didn't really, like, stick as, like, friends. It was only just us four. But I've never, like, really needed, like, a big group of friends or anything. Like, just two people that I know or, like, three people that I know I can, like, lean on or something. That's pretty much good for me.
And that totally tracks because that reflects, like, the size of your family growing up also. Was there a specific point where you kind of realized that what you were experiencing with your mother was not normal?
I knew my relationship with my mom wasn't going to be the same when she was basically before her boyfriend that she has now. My mom was married to a man, And like basically, like when I started getting older, and like, you know, like when your mom finally lets you have a phone and stuff like that. And like when I started having a phone, like I was getting older, and that was like the time, like, oh yeah, it's time like start hanging outside with your friends and stuff like that. But I started noticing him like, oh, you're not like, you're like a little different, or like basically like he gave me like the wrong vibes. Like, you're not really giving me like parent vibes right now. You're giving me like kind of like, I don't know, different vibes. So I would like try to go tell my mom, like, mommy, this is what's going on, and you know, all this stuff. And my mom literally did not believe me. Like, my mom's that type of person, like, you gotta tell her 24,000 times before she believes you. And I would tell her, like, mom, like, this is going on. Like, I really wish you, like, have my back or whatever. So my mom came out of nowhere, and she was like, let me tell you about this story about the boy who cried wolf. And I was taken aback. I was like, what? Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Anything else, I would have been like, okay, maybe, sure. But, like, for that topic in particular, I was like, okay, I know my mom did not just say this to me or whatever. And this is, like, a serious thing. And, like, you know, like, when you really wish, like, somebody was there for you, had your back, and then that person just, like, doesn't, like, they just fooled you, like, in the most different way, like, you was not expecting. So that's really when I knew, like, okay, my mom, like, she's not, like, being the mom, the type of mom, like, I expected her to be, because everybody has expectations for people. But, like, at that moment, like, I had expectations for my mom, and she, like, she did not pass the test at all. Like, she failed horribly. Like, you're supposed to be here for your kid, and you weren't here for your kid. And, like, I get it and all. Like, now that I'm older, okay, cool. But, like, at the time being, I was still a kid. Like, and for you to just sit there and call me a liar to my face, that kind of just blew me out of proportion. And it really hurt my feelings at the end of the day, because, like, I would not never lie about something that traumatic, or I wouldn't sit there and even put somebody under the bus like that and then, you know, lie about it. Like, who would just lie about something like that? So I just knew from that moment, like, yeah, like, this is not what I expected, like, out of a mom or whatever. So I don't know. My mom, she just really has her moments sometimes.
Yeah, it's totally understandable that you feel that way. I mean, so many people, I think, would be shocked to hear that, because the only time they may have heard of something like that is in a movie or a TV show. And often the parent is portrayed as, like, not believing or even openly ignoring what's going on. So, like, how were you able to wrap your head around that at the time? Like, how did you deal with that?
I couldn't. Like, that was an even scarier thing about it. Is, like, I couldn't even wrap my head around it, because here I am. Like, I'm in a household with somebody. Like, I'm looking up to you like you're supposed to be a father figure, and you're not. And then you just, like, literally, you're just playing around in my mom's face. Like, I remember it so vividly. Like, I would go upstairs and be like, can you just, like, after a moment, I just got to my breaking point. And I was like, can you please just tell the truth? Like, I can't take it anymore. I just really want you to tell the truth. I don't understand why you can't just tell my mom the truth. Like, I at that point, I'm like, I'm even forgiving you. Like, I'm like, doing anything in my power just for my mom to be like, all right, let me, like, sit down and have a one-on-one, like, and I even wanted that, like, one-on-one connection. Just talk to me. You don't have to always add that person into the room. And that's something that my mom loved to do. Like, it would be something that me and her are going through, or, like, I'm trying to just talk to her, and then she would bring, like, that person, or, like, start talking about that person and having that person's back instead of having my back. So, I don't know. My mom always made me feel like, dang, like, no matter how much I do or whatever I say, it's like, you're always going to believe another person more than you believe me. And I just grew up like, okay, I just grew up thinking, like, my mom's not never going to have my back, or, like, my mom's never going to, like, trust me enough to have my back. I don't know, but, like, it just rubbed me wrong. Like, I'm doing so much to, like, prove to my mom, but, like, now that I'm older, I'm like, dang, I really shouldn't have had to, like, prove to my mom that hard, or, like, even go through the lengths that I did with my mom. If she just would have sat down and just listened. My mom was, like, a terrible listener. And, like, I know, like, now it's gotten better and stuff like that. But, like, then, like, it's even hard to, like, talk to her sometimes or have that conversation, because it's, like, as a kid, I know what you did. as a kid. So, like, as an adult, it's, like, certain things I don't even want to talk to you about or tell you about because I don't know how, if you're going to believe me or, like, how you're even going to feel or react about it. So, it's, like, I don't know. I just have minor PTSD from it. Like, even when I was pregnant and I was trying to come out with the baby and everything and tell people I was pregnant with the baby, and she didn't believe the pregnancy test. She did not believe. She, like, when my belly was getting older, she didn't even believe my belly was getting fat. I'm, like, girl, like, but I mean, that's how just some people are. And I had to grow up learning, like, some people are truly just like that. Like, it hurts people's feelings, but at the end of the day, like, you can only do but so much that you can do. And if people don't want to believe you, or if people don't want to sit there and just take the time to understand where you're coming from, then I just let it go at the end of the day.
Now, when we first met, we did get to talk about your pregnancy and how that was the time where you really decided that something had to change for the sake of, like, your future and your little one. And I'm glad that the little one is able to join us today for the interview. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was confused. Like, I didn't know, like, if I should have stayed or if I should have gone. Because, I mean, I've only been around my family for so long, so I don't know, it's just, like, a very difficult move to make, but I had to really, like, look back and think of it, because even the first year of my son's life, like, if only babies could remember, he would even tell you, like, it was not easy at all. So it really just came down to it, like, when it became to the providing part and what I was, like, what I was able to do to make sure that I was able to provide for my kid, like, that just was out the window. It was not a safe environment for him. And I didn't want my son growing up, like, seeing people fight or, like, seeing people yell at each other, because I grew up like that. I grew up with my parents fighting 24/7, with my mom yelling, my grandma yelling, my stepdad yelling. Like, I didn't grow up in that picket fence family. Like, my boyfriend might have had it a little bit easier than I did. But I'll be the first to tell you, like, that stuff is very traumatic. Like, once you have a baby, you just start thinking about everything. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, what if my baby goes through this? Or what if my baby sees this? Or what if somebody teaches my baby this? Like, you just get real, like, scared, because you just want the best for your kid. And at the end of the day, like, I would be terrified if something happened and then my kid gets taken away because they think it's not a safe household, or my mom is fighting too much, or, you know, it just got too much. And it honestly, at the end of the day, was not safe. Like, it wasn't safe. So I just had to take that gut punch and just be like, you know what? Everybody goes through a change at some point. Everybody goes through a new beginning at some point. So I might as well take it now and just see where I end up later. I'm glad I took the risk, because, like, basically my baby wound up with a knot on his head. So I was like, you know what? I got to go. My baby got hurt. I got to go. Yeah, so I went to my boyfriend's mom's house, and it was good. But, yeah, he started learning how to crawl. And so it started getting real overcrowded, and, like, their house is, like, I wouldn't say, like, messy people, but, you know, it was a lot of stuff for a baby to be around just learning how to crawl. So I was like, okay, I think we need to figure out what we're finna do next, or what's our next move or whatever. And I told my boyfriend, I would help you, like, get the money if you just want me to work, because at the time my boyfriend wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom, and I'm not really, like, a indoor person, so it kind of, like, messed with my head a little bit, because I started going a little crazy, because, like, I just wanted more for my kid, and plus that wasn't even my house. It's like, and then I was limited to some things, like, I couldn't, like, do simple things like wash my own laundry. So I don't know, I just couldn't do it. So once my baby started crawling, I moved out of there, and we moved to Lawrenceville, and I think that's a little farther away from Douglasville, or even from here. And I lived out there till my baby started standing up or whatever. And that was pretty good. His cousin actually helped out a lot, and I'm so grateful. I tell people all the time when I talk about his cousin, like, that lady right there is my lifesaver. Like, they would teach me how to, like, calm down. Like, if your baby's getting you upset, these are the things that you do to help calm down. Because I'm a first-time mom, and I'm still a teenager, so I don't know everything in the book. But they really, like, they were like, you know, you want to make sure you're doing everything that's best for your baby. And like, even though some people won't help you, like, these are the things and stuff that you could take even for yourself if you don't have any help and stuff. So like, they really helped me like that and helped put some money in my pocket and just made sure like my baby and myself were straight and just gave me like a really steady mind. And that, I think that was one of the most calmest points in my life when I was homeless. And then after that, we moved to the truck and we started living in the truck for, I think 3 months, I guess, I want to say. It was a while in that truck. And then after the truck, I was like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And then that's when I found out about you guys.
Mm-hmm. One thing I hear a lot from people on the outside looking in, especially on social media, of course, is, well, what about their family? Or can they go stay with someone that they know? And I think this is an example of how you can still get help from your family or your loved ones, and they can give you a place to stay. But it's about so much more than just having a roof over your head. You have to feel like you can take care of your family. You need to feel safe. I mean, it's about protecting your mental and physical health, among so many other things. And I'm sure more than anything, all you want at the end of the day is to come home and not be stressed.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's really how my life was. Like, before I moved out here, I was stressed. I was depressed. I'm not even going to lie. Like, and it was not, oh, depressed, like, I want to die or anything like that. It was just, like, it's, like, something missing. Like, the happy part of it was missing. Like, I enjoy waking up every day knowing that I do have a loving family. And, like, I have a boyfriend and at least somebody who, like, stayed, because not a lot of teenagers stay in relationships. So I, like, am very grateful that he is even around just to be able to even help me out with the baby or just keep me company. And it's just the little things. Even when you're homeless, people don't realize, like, it's the little things that keep you going. Like, literally, I don't really, like, I'm not a big, like, fancy person. I'm not, like, for the extreme gifts or, like, the whole, let's do the whole makeover thing. No, I'm here about, like, quality time, family. Like, I'm more of, like, let's make some memories instead of, like, focusing on, like, oh, I need this or I need this clothing or these shoes. Like, because you'll be surprised how many people are homeless and still want designer or Gucci, or they still just want things that are, like, way out of the picture instead of, like, getting on their feet. Because I've had friends, like, who are homeless. Like, right now, I actually have a friend who is going through homelessness. And I had to tell her, like, it's more things in life. Like, I love you and I care about you, but it's, like, you want to make sure that you're on your feet, because if you spend all your money now or if you spend all your resources now, you're not going to have that when you're trying to actually get on your feet and stabilize yourself. Because I've even done it at one point and, like, told myself, oh, I don't really know. Maybe I want to play around for a little bit. And it actually stopped one of my blessings that I was going to get. So I was like, you know what? It's a time and a place for everything. And I had to learn that it's literally a time and a place for everything. You might want to have fun now, but you have your whole life to have fun. Like, I'd rather be stabilized knowing that my mind is okay when I go to bed than what I'm going to wear tomorrow or how my hair is going to look the next day. Like, I literally did not do my hair for a long time knowing, like, and you'll be surprised how many girls do their hair or make sure that their nails are done or make sure that their toes are done. And, like, it's like people have to choose what they want to worry about and how they want to do it to make sure that their future is established the right way. Because if you just come out here and you, like, I've had even somebody be homeless with me. Like, I've been homeless with people before. So, like, I'm just telling people, like, you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and you're making sure that your mind is stabilized the right way. Because if not, you're going to continue to be homeless and keep going through homelessness and homelessness and homelessness. Because I was homeless for a long time, literally. And I had to choose, like, if I'm going to be homeless the smart way or I'm just going to be homeless and be homeless out here and just be homeless.
It's wild because I do know people who, I mean, I would consider them to be very well off, but they absolutely have the same mindset. And now I'm thinking about something that you said earlier, which is that you didn't really feel like you could trust the adults in your school, and the people who you felt like were supposed to be taking care of you weren't really showing up in the way that you expected them to or the way that you needed them to. What could the adults in your life that have done to make you feel like you could trust them more, that you could open up to them more?
That's actually a great question. I just feel like adults could not be so, I wouldn't even say judgmental, but don't literally, like how people tell you, don't judge a book by its cover. A lot of adults do that for kids, like, or when I used to like go through it with like things and stuff like that, people would come to me and be like, oh, she's just being arrogant, or she's just being disrespectful, or she's just not getting her way. And it's not any of those things. It's not like I'm not getting my way or being arrogant or just trying to be disrespectful or none of those things. Like, at the end of the day, parents have to learn, like, just because, like, how am I trying to say it? Like, basically, like, I would go up to my mom and be like, mommy, I'm depressed. And some of those parents would be like, you're not depressed. You're just not getting what you want right now. Just, I feel like if parents take the time more to understand their child and not even listen, just understand where they're coming from, because everybody is entitled to their own opinion and their own emotions. And I feel like if parents just take the time to listen and just take time to get to know your kid and know your kid's headspace, then things will go a lot smoother, because sometimes kids aren't just being arrogant or being disrespectful. Kids go through things because we're all human. We're not just kids. Like, yes, we're kids and we have it easy sometimes, but some of us don't. And if some people just take the time to understand that and just be like, okay, I hear you, or I understand how you feel, or even if I don't understand, you know, what you're going through, I feel for you, and I'm going to be here for you, have your back. Kids need those words of encouragement and affirmation. That stuff goes a long way. It's not always about, here, let me buy you something and be quiet, or you're spoiled. No, like, everybody goes through something in their life, and everybody wants somebody to have their back or, like, be that shoulder to lean on. I really feel like if my mom would have just sat there and, you know, listened and been more of, like, a, not even a friend, but just be someone there, like, that I can be like, okay, thank you for listening to me, and thank you for just understanding what I'm trying to say right now, then kids would go through a lot smoother. I promise you wouldn't have these kids who are just hard-headed or not trying to listen, because that's how I used to be. People didn't want to listen to me, so I stopped listening to people. It's all a cause and effect. You treat your kids how you want your kids to treat you. That's just what I experienced firsthand. If you want your kid to be disrespectful, your kid's going to be disrespectful. If you want your kid to be sweet, you're going to teach your kid those things. You even have to teach yourself how to communicate to your own kids. Like, not just, oh, no, stop, or be quiet, shut up. You know, all those things that clicks into a kid's head, like, oh, I'm going to tell my kid to shut up, or I'm going to tell this person to be quiet. Everybody, it's all the way you move your mouth and how you speak to people. Like, I can come off to you like, oh, I don't like you off the bat. And then you're like, oh, she's a mean person, she's rude. Or I could say, hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. And the conversation goes so much smoother. You know, it's just the way you raise your kids at the end of the day. You literally treat your kids are your kids. They come from you. Like, I just feel like, you know, even like, that's why I'm trying to break generational curses now, because it's like, even the way my mom grew up, some of the things she learned, how she speaks to me, she got it from her mom. So I just feel like if people take the time to listen and see where, like, even their wrongdoings are and just try to correct it, because nobody's perfect. But even if you just try to fix some of the things, I promise you it'll go a lot smoother. Because, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do for my kid. And I hope he takes all the advice for me and passes it on to his kid and the next kid and the next kid, so things like this don't keep happening, so homelessness doesn't keep happening. Because most of the time, it's not even about money in your parents' house. It's just parents are not seeing what they want their kid to do, or they think their kid is this way, and then they don't want to deal with it anymore. But in all reality, the kids who have good A's and do the right thing and talk to people respectful, those are the kids who get to be in their parents' house till they're like 25 years old. So it's all in the way the parent wants to talk to their kid and treat their kid at the end of the day. That's personally how I feel.
I mean, wow, that was very well said, if I do say so myself. You've referred to yourself a few times now as homeless. Did that word ever bother you? Did words like homelessness or runaway ever make you feel embarrassed or anything like that?
When I started being homeless, I was like, no, I'm not homeless. Because, you know, you look at people like off TV and you're like, those people are homeless. But now I'm like, yeah, I've been homeless. I'm more comfortable to say it now because, I mean, I've been through it. I have a firsthand experience with homelessness. Like, can't nobody tell me that, you know, I wasn't homeless. And it's not even nothing to be embarrassed about at the end of the day, because at some point in time, people go through it. Like, you, even if you're doing good and you just start magically becoming on your lowest and you're homeless, that's nothing to be ashamed about. Like, and I just had to realize that's nothing to, like, be like, you don't have to be embarrassed by being homeless, or it's not something like you have to be ashamed of or anything like that. I mean, I embrace the homelessness. I mean, because that's part of who I am. If anything, that's literally part of my life. So I would not sit there and tell anybody like to be ashamed or anything like that. It just all depends on how you go from it. Like, once you become homeless, it's up to you if you want to stay that way or if you want to actually do something about it. Because there's plenty of resources now that I'm learning about resources. It's plenty of people that are willing to help you if you're just willing to even try to get the help. I think that's how I feel.
And I agree, there are a lot of resources out there. And I know that there are also a lot of like program leaders who are always looking for new ways to help make sure that young people know that there are options and people out there to help them. So where should they be sharing their information to make sure that people who have had similar experiences to yours can find that information?
I would probably do like middle schools, probably high school, about ninth grade in high school, because that's really when people start going through a lot of things. Is in that ninth grade year, you kind of figure out who your friends are and who aren't your friends and stuff like that. So I would definitely say more of like reaching schools, pertaining like high schoolers, because that's when a lot of people get kicked out, is in high school and middle school, about eighth grade to like 10th grade year. I'd definitely say that. I would even say church, to be honest, or something like that, or an event to just like say, hey, we're here like helping for homeless people or stuff. Like, I would do an event just to be like, hey, this is what we're trying to do for like youth kids and stuff like that. I know that would probably definitely bring people out, because it brings people out. If it's food involved, people love food, stuff like that. But I would say mostly like school and mostly church, because I remember when I was homeless in middle school, I used to like sit around a church a lot.
Something that's really stood out in our conversation is that it seems like forgiveness is a really big part of your process, if that makes any sense. Can you talk about the importance of forgiveness?
Yeah, I feel like forgiving people is top tier, like it's number one important. When I was like five, I used to tell like my mom, and I still say it now every single day, like if I'm going through something, I'll tell people like, I'm not going to be mad at you tomorrow, because tomorrow is a new day. And I'm not focusing on what happened yesterday. I'm not even going to remember what happened yesterday, because tomorrow is, that's a clean slate for me. And I'm not going to hold grudges. My mom is a big person who held grudges. And I think that was one of the things that made me not want to hold grudges on people, because over time that just makes you like, it just makes you an angry person. Why would you continue? It's been like, I remember it's been years. Like, it was a one thing with my mom. It was like 5 years. I'm like, Ma, you're still holding on to this. It's been years. And I would never want to sit there and have that much animosity or that much anger or upset feeling towards somebody when I know that it's way easier to forgive, because I'll have a smile on my face at the end of the day, knowing that I forgave you and knowing that you feel forgiven, even if I'm still mad at you a little bit. Or even if you think I'm not, you know, even if you think I'm still mad at you, if you know that out the words came out my mouth that I forgave you, then we're good. And I don't want people to keep going on in their lives, because that's why most of the stuff that happens out here is because people don't know how to just let it go. Just let it go. Like, I've had so many people do things to me and like put their hands on me or make me feel sad. It's like, I've been through so much. Like, it's not a story you can't ask me, I won't tell you about. I've been through it all. But at the end of the day, I still see people and I still give them a hug. Like, there's people that my mom even still hangs around, and I'll be like, yeah, you might have did this to me when I was a kid, but at the end of the day, I forgive you, because I'm old enough now and I can tell people, like, some people really just aren't healthy people, or some people really just don't have the straight frame of mind. So why would I then bully you or beat you up about it or make you feel even more less than, when I can just forgive you and just move on about it? Because that'll make me feel like a better person, and that'll make me feel a second step away from God. So at the end of the day, I just try to do what's right for me, what's right for other people, so that other people can learn. Like, you, if I can let it go, you can let it go too. It's just life. Like, at the end of the day, you got to choose to be happy. It's too much going on out here to just be sad all the time and just holding on to stuff I don't have it. I just want to be as free as possible, as open as possible, as humble as possible. I just want people to feel what I'm feeling, because I'm telling you, once you make it out that storm, it's nothing but clear skies. And I would not sit there and wish that on anybody to feel sad or feel the emotions that I was feeling, because it's not good. It's not good. But yeah, forgiveness is key. Forgiveness gets you the next day and the next day and the next day. So, I mean, it do nothing but be happy.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. And I know a part of processing trauma is like learning not to blame yourself, and in some situations, knowing how to forgive yourself or learning how to forgive yourself. Did you ever feel the need to forgive yourself for anything that happened?
I mean, when I used to blame myself for a lot of things. Like, I probably still do blame myself for, like, some things. Or I'd be like, dang, was that my fault? So, like, that's, I would say that's a tricky question. I mean, I do forgive myself, because at the end of the day, I was a kid going through this. It wasn't like I was an adult going through this, or I already knew what was going on. Like, I didn't know anything that was going on. So I had to forgive myself even for that part, knowing. And, like, I'm glad for my therapist, because, like, she even would tell me, like, it's not your fault. It's not your, like, you have to realize, you can't beat yourself up about the things that you know you could not control, or that you know, like, that was completely out of your hands. So I know I still have, like, a lot of self-forgiving to do, but, like, for the most part, like, for the traumatic things in my life that I know, like, the big things that I know I had no part in, like, controlling those things, I know I did at least forgive a piece of myself, at least that younger self I forgave. I might not be able to forgive, like, the whole thing, but at least I forgave, like, the younger part of me that knows, like, she didn't deserve that, and she didn't deserve, like, that pain that she went through. Because it wasn't good and it wasn't healthy. But I know, like, as I get older, I still have, like, a lot of forgiving to do. Because that's just, like, a part of me, like, I'm just, like, those are, like, my milestones, I guess I could say that.
Thank you, Jillian, for sharing your story and your wisdom. And thank you all for tuning into the Let's Talk podcast. We have more stories from young people that I know will change your perspective. So subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform to get notifications for when this season's new episodes drop. Transcripts for the Let's Talk podcast are available at 1-800-runaway.org/podcast.